time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Time for Abandoned Manitoba, and I'm excited about this one because we sent Gordon Goldsborough out in the field for a very interesting conversation. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Nadia. Yeah, I felt just like a regular journalist. I was out interviewing people.
Tell me who you were speaking to, because this is a big deal.
I thought so too. So recently, a photographer by the name of Pete Ryan came to Verdun to do a workshop on how to photograph abandoned structures. And Pete is a photographer for the National Geographic. I was fascinated why the National Geographic would be interested in abandoned here in Manitoba, but I had a chance to talk with Pete and find out.
Right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's hear some of that conversation.
I'm here in a hotel room in Verdun with Pete Ryan, a professional photographer from Victoria, British Columbia. Pete, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm actually a self-taught photographer. Though having studied architecture at McGill University, I thought I was, going to be making the big leagues. I did well, but it really wasn't going to be for me. And, at the ripe age of 23, when I wasn't at my drafting table in school, I was out shooting editorial assignments for the likes of Maclean's and Canadian Geographic. And I was also convincing organizers of high-profile international sporting events to hire me to shoot for them. Such events as World Gymnastics Championships, the Formula One racing, which was such a great, fun experience, and I was getting paid for it. And the top dog was the Olympic Winter Games. I remember it was for the 1988 Olympic Games in Calgary, February 28th, the closing ceremonies. February 29th, I found myself on the set of Night Heat, which was a TV show being shot in Toronto. I was working as a stillsman in the motion picture industry in Toronto for a couple of years, and I bet you didn't know that I was a contract photographer for CBC.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So then we come around to Manitoba. What brings you to Manitoba?
Well, the Canadian prairies have been a fascination for me, so when it comes to Canada, for me, it wasn't so much about the lifestyle, the history, and the innovation and the technology. It was more about the history and the pioneering way of life. And it was when I moved from Ottawa to Victoria in 2006, having driven across the country, I'm now finding myself in Brandon. I went, oh man, look at that old house. That's cool. I like to photograph that, but it was raining. So you're thinking, okay, I got to come back. And so I did. But it really is, to me, that's what I like to do.
And now you've been working with the National Geographic. How did you get involved with the National Geographic?
Well, what I didn't know at the time, I found it afterwards, is National Geographic, you can't apply to be a photographer. You have to be asked. So, I get a phone call out of the blue, and are you the guy that does these abandoned houses? I went, yeah. Now, just sidebar to that, this voice sounded like my friend Wade in Victoria. So I thought somebody's pulling a prank at me. And anyway, 2 weeks later, I arrived back in Victoria, and there's this big manila envelope in my mailbox, and it's got National Geographic written on it, and it's got a U.S. postmark, so it's not a practical joke. Open up the contract. It's the fairest contract that I've ever read that my lawyer said, if you don't sign it, I will.
So what was it about your interest in abandoned buildings that attracted the National Geographic? Like, why did you get interested in abandoned buildings?
Well, as a child, I was taken out to Oak Island, Nova Scotia, where the money pit still exists. They can't find the treasure. And I got to stand at the edge of what I'll call the funnel. And my dad had to pull me back because I almost slid down to the bottom. And there were cranes. There were like 1930s vehicles out there. And I've got the vivid memory of that. And I still have not been able to duplicate that on film or in camera. I've not seen those again, but that's probably was my calling. Then there are other situations. Again, the internet's a great place. I find images everywhere. I take a screenshot, put it in a folder. I don't know if I'm going to live that long before I can get to all these places, but I'd go up to Kennecott, Alaska, where the concentration mill was built 14 stories into the side of the mountain. And just by chance, when I happened to be there, the former warden of the park, of Wrangell St. Elias National Park, which is the largest park in the U.S., looked at me and said, oh, you're from National Geographic? Oh, look, the season is over, but here are the keys to the building. Knock yourself out. I don't expect that access every day, but those are the things that knock me out. It's just what I like to do.
Good. So you were in Brandon a number of years ago. Yeah. You have come back to Manitoba now. So tell us, why are you here in Manitoba now?
Because I've covered, I think I've photographed most of Alberta, most of Saskatchewan. Now, Saskatchewan photographers may tell me otherwise. But Manitoba, to me, is an untapped territory. I don't know much about it, so it's a new fascination for me. It's like a Pandora's box. I've seen pictures on the internet. I want to find that place. I want to photograph it. I know I'm not going to be the only person photographing it. What continues to earn my keep at National Geographic, what most people don't know is that National Geographic has a fascination for Canada. So Alexander Graham Bell, for example, was a founding member of the National Geographic Society out of Cape Breton. Now, well, not in Manitoba, there is still, let me put it this way. There isn't another National Geographic photographer who's shooting Canada or shooting rural Canada. In my case, I get to be the journeyman. I get to do what I want and then submit what I want in anticipation that they'll publish it. And that's good enough for me.
So what are we doing here in Verdun?
Yesterday we had an outdoor photography class, and it's for beginners and intermediate photographers learning photography as well as experiencing the back roads that they would not otherwise travel to around Verdun. You know, they'd heard about this place, but they hadn't been to it or they didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm. So this isn't necessarily intended for professional photographers or people who are really skilled. It's for basically anyone, any less level of ability.
Well, professionals more than welcome to come up because I'm learning too. I'm learning from the beginners. I'm learning from everyone. I'm also learning about other places where to photograph. Some people are there for the photography. Other people are there for the locations. And that's fine by me. Mm-hmm. Because for me, in this line of work, you have to be passionate about what you do.
Mm-hmm. What sort of places would we go to in a workshop like this one? What kind of buildings or other things would we see in a workshop
like this?
Well,
like around Verdun, you'd be going to the abandoned homesteads, farmsteads. You'd be going to any abandoned buildings where there might be a grain elevator. Or anything that's iconic. Well, let me put it this way. There are a lot of creepy old houses out there, and they're really interesting. After the many years of weathered doors, weathered windows, most of them don't have windows, and that's what makes them really creepy. But it's a fascination for locals alike.
So have there been any highlights for you during your time here in Manitoba that you really stand out for you as, wow, that's a really cool abandoned place?
Well, now the pressure's on because I've only actually been here now for 2 days. So, no, but I would like to say the stone farmhouses, which you don't see west of Regina. And so these were often houses that were of the wealthy. You've got old whistle stops, you've got churches, you've got grain elevators. But let's face it, those creepy old houses, they look pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Because it's dead wood that's been abandoned probably since the 1960s, if not earlier.
Have you ever had run-ins with like animals in these buildings or belligerent people? Or
all the time. Not so much Manitoba, but I've had rattlesnakes in Saskatchewan. I've had odd sounds, especially at night, because sounds get amplified at night. So the bullfrog or the cricket is a lot scarier at night. So, no, I haven't seen any ghosts.
So the workshop you've just completed in Verdun, is it the only one? Are you offering more?
Actually, there's two more at this time. There's one in Morden on the 24th of May, and then again in Winnipeg on the 25th and the 26th of May.
So if any of the listeners are maybe interested in finding out more about these workshops, how would they do that?
You would go to abandonedmanitoba.ca, and at the top right-hand corner of the page, you'll see a link to the workshops.
So it'll say something like photographic workshops with Pete Ryan, something like that?
I think so. I hope so.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for speaking with me this afternoon, Pete. It's much appreciated.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
A really, really interesting conversation, and I'm so glad he came here to Manitoba.
Yeah, I know he's talked about possibly doing more of these workshops, so I'm hoping that'll happen.
Now, what's the clue for next week?
We're going to talk about a place in Manitoba called Trump and whether or not it has any connection to the U.S. president.
Gordon, thank you.
You're welcome.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons ago.